everybody, and welcome to Nerd Alert! Girls.
Hi.
Hello. Okay, before we get started, I want to take a brief moment to say that as residents of Los Angeles County, we acknowledge our presence, including virtual presence, on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of Indigenous people who are variously referred to as the Gabrielino Tungva people and Keech Nation. I am your host, Bridget, pronoun she, hers.
Hi, and I'm Jen with the G, pronoun she, hers. How's it going, everybody? I am losing my mind here.
Yes. All right. So we're here to talk about, I guess all the trailer, the two main trailers for Spider-Man No Way Home. And before we get into it, though, I think we got to talk about the two big elephants in the room.
We knew we had to talk about this.
I just want to get out of the way. Okay, let's start with saying what would be bad about Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield being in this movie as their Spider-Men, respectively.
Spider-Men. We talked about this before in, like, the previous episode about the Spider-Manathon and such, you know, about the pros and the cons, who did well and what, you know, but just... Mm-hmm. Even now, we're still not 100% sure if Tobey or Andrew are coming, despite the rumors with Andrew and Tom or whatever, but... We gotta say it. If Tobey comes back, we're gonna get a lot of more creepy staring and a lot more crying.
Nothing wrong with crying. It's just like, there is a limitation to how much I want to watch on the screen. You know?
But, yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Not putting down a man crying. There's nothing wrong with that. But after a while, you're just like, honey, okay. No.
To be very cliche about true love and him, you know, it just, you know, it's whatever. and like, you know, in terms of like Andrew Garfield, I know he like has some mixed feelings about like just what went down with his Spider-Man trilogy. And like, you know, just for like, I don't know, that guy's doing so many different exciting things right now. I'm just kind of like, it's not like he needs Spider-Man, right? And like,
he really doesn't. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we can't help but like still like him as a Spider-Man because he really is the closest interpretation of Spider-Man from the comics, you know. Mm-hmm. Respect. So if he comes back, great. And if he doesn't, all right, you know, it's fine.
Yeah, I like I don't have my heart set on it especially because like I don't. For me, like, I don't want Tom Holland's Spider-Man to, like, be overpowered by having other Spider-Man, you know? And, like...
Yeah, like, I noticed that Tom Holland's Spider-Man is sharing his movies literally all the time now. Mm-hmm. We got Iron Man for the first one, mm-hmm. Iron Man's Ghost for the second one, and now Doctor Strange.
And now Doctor Strange, yeah. Oh, gosh, you're so right about the Iron Man Ghost, though. Gosh.
I had to say that, to this day.
I mean, he's becoming like Steve having to share his Captain America movies. And, like, you know, like, I mean, with Black Widow, which, I mean, I'm not upset about that. Like, the iconic duo, but, like... You know, but then, like, with the third movie that just became Avengers 2.5 slash Iron Man movie. And, well, I guess maybe that's just, like, the curse of, like, my favorite characters in Marvels that they have to share their movies. But, like, it might not be the case for this Spider-Man. Like, you know, it could be we just see the villains. Maybe that's what's going to happen. I don't know.
And we see nothing but villains.
Yeah. No, that's for sure. But, like, I also want to present, like, one... other possibility that I would be even more excited about, and that is live-action Miles Morales.
Live-action Miles Morales! Just, yes!
I would not be mad about that, just throwing that out there.
Manifest.
Yeah, I'd love to see this version of Peter Parker with Miles Morales. Like, yes. They're both such sweeties, so, like,
Spider-Man or Spider-Woman iteration other than Tom Holland. Don't get me wrong, I love Tom Holland, but there's just so many awesome spider people out there. And, of course, Miles Morales being one of my top favorites, if not my absolute favorite, but, oh my gosh, if we get a live-action Miles Morales...
I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm just throwing that out there. Just like, you know what? We're throwing spaghetti on the wall. Who knows?
Hey, we're already getting a bunch of young Avengers popping in. You know?
I mean, that's true. Although, you know, is Miles like a young Avengers? I don't think he's more of the champions and as far as the comics go.
When I mean like young Avengers, I don't mean like the group itself, but Avengers who are young.
Next
generation. Yeah, that's what I had in mind. But
yeah, I mean, but the other thing with that, even as I bring up Miles, though, is that we do have already an excellent crossover of different spider people from different universes into the Spider-Verse. So like, I'm not really, for me, I'm not really thirsting for that. Like, oh, give me that. Because, like, I've already had, like, a really solid entry of that as far as movies go, you know? And, like, obviously there's plenty of crossovers in, like, comics and everything. But, like, you know, that was just, like, such a well-done movie.
It was. Oh, my god.
You know, so, like, so, again, it just, like, makes me feel satisfied in terms of, like, that. Of seeing, like, oh, what's it like when a bunch of spider people come together? It's awesome. It's amazing, you know? Like, yeah, we already know.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, I don't need, like, Spider-Man No Way Home to do that for me. Personally, it's not something that I'm, like, really gunning for.
You know, I definitely see your point, and I know exactly what you mean, because, seriously, Into the Spider-Verse was a masterpiece, and I would love to gush about that, but we gotta focus on Tom Holland here and these awesome trailers. And that being said, I gotta say, I'm greedy for it, people. I need it! Oh my gosh.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Let's talk about,
spoiled.
Let's talk about the first trailer. The first one that came out, like, a couple months ago.
Yeah, so... That one was technically the teaser trailer. I would have been happy with just that as it was.
I know, yeah, same.
I was super pumped.
Yeah.
Like, just, yes, we got something. And literally the fact that it started off with Spidey Shell just trying to hang out and trying to catch a few moments of peace after Jake Gyllenhaal tore my art out and ate it in front of me.
Wow, that was very graphic. But, yes, like, you know that Spidey Shell is, like, my favorite ship since, like, Steggy, far as canon ships, my favorite ship.
Canon ships.
Roman Rogers is also up there. But yeah, because they're so cute together. And, like, this first scene, I don't know. Like, I feel like it sums up their dynamic.
So well.
So well, you know? Like, first of all, like, they're on a high building. They're, you know, to a quiet place by themselves. Who knows? Maybe, like, it's a, like, place that Michelle goes to a lot. Or, like,
yeah,
you know, like, I could see her, like, doing that sort of thing. Without even having Spider-Man powers, you know, just be like, yeah, I like to come out here to, like, quiet my mind and stuff. Like, I feel like that's so her. But, you know, it opens and they're both lying down. She's got the backpack and he has the hard textbook under his head. Like, you know, just, like, the subtlety of that. You know, already that, like, he's like, okay, I'll use the textbook and you can have my backpack, you know? You know, and, you know, she's has the newspaper up and, like, has, like, the headline, like, Spider Minions and stuff. And,
oh, my gosh.
You know, it's clear that she's doing it to, like, help make it, like, lighten the mood, you know, reading from this article about, like, hypothesizing about his powers and, like,
oh my gosh.
You know, talking about the spiders and how, like, male spiders hypnotize female spiders. And he's like, oh, stop. And she's like, yes, my spider lord. And
come on!
It is perfection, okay? Fight me on it. That is utter perfection.
So good! And then
his soft little laugh, like, that was, I bet that was the first time he'd laughed in, like,
forever.
Weeks. Yes.
Oh, just, and, like, you're thinking, oh my gosh, they're still so fluffy and cute together, and then all this action-y stuff, and then the second trailer. Oh, but, you know what, it's fine. We still have Spidey Shell, and it seems like she and him are still intent on being cute and fluffy and sweet together, despite the fact that Peter's going through a hell of a time.
Well, that's the thing, is that, like, I mean, I feel like Michelle has always been, like, actually a really good friend, like, you know, I mean, in the first movie, right, it's the whole, like, she tries to shove it off by saying, like, you know, I'm not obsessed with him, I'm just observant, you know, but, like, you know, that extra content of, like, her leaving voicemails for him, and saying, like, hey, where are you, you know, like, hope you're okay, and, like, you know, like, she was checking on him even before, like, they were a couple, even before, like, he, you know, got to know her that well. And, like, you know, it's clearly in there for a long haul, right? You see the dramatic moment where, you know, they're walking through the paparazzi or whatever, and they're holding hands, but they have this, like, grim determination on their faces, like, but that they're both in it together. And I just, you know, just, like, the partnership in that, you know, that, like, yeah, I'm not with you because you're, like, a pretty boy, or because you're Spider-Man, or because of whatever.
Yeah, I like you for you.
Yeah, it's not, like, some, like, superficial teen romance. It's something, like, that, again, has been, like, a genuine bond in terms of, like, senses of humor, in terms of, like, heart, and just, like, they're my favorite.
They truly are perfection. And it's nice to see that she is helping him go through this. Mm. And Ned, too.
Yeah, no, and I
Ned
don't want...
Ned being the ultimate bro, man.
Ned, like, being right behind them and, like, being also... Like, they're the trio.
Yeah.
You know?
Golden,
like,
trios, man.
Still, you know, the guy in the chair, like, you know...
Yes.
You know, but yeah, is right there with Peter, too.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. Like, that is definitely, like, one of the greatest romances ever.
Yes.
That is the one thing where, like, I think Tom Holland's Spider-Man really beats out the other... the other Spider-Man. The others
don't have friends.
The others just don't have any bromances like Peter has. So Peter in this MCU version does. So like,
yep.
Yep.
Gotta say it anyway. Ned, rock star, as usual. Oh my gosh. So of course we see that everyone's going through all this crud, and we see Peter get arrested and they handcuff him. They're like ready to throw him down for Mysterio's death there, you know? Right.
And like they're questioning that, you know, and interrogating his other friends. We see, you know, Ned, we see Aunt May.
You know, that first teaser trailer I was telling Bridget was kind of like the social consequences of Peter being outed. You know, you see it weighing down and you see like Peter, he's just like, oh my gosh, like I hate that I'm hurting people around me, even though MJ's basically telling him, hey, you know, it's got to be kind of a relief to like not have any secrets and to kind of be out, you know. And he's like, but it's hurting the people around me. And
yeah,
that's when he thinks Doctor Strange,
right? He sees that like
the nightlight wizard thing.
Yeah, it looked like a string of lights, like it was like gonna be Halloween, you know, or something. Which it might be. That was the summer trip, right? And then maybe it is like a Halloween thing. Actually, was when.
That sounds about right. Either way, finally, Doctor Strange makes his appearance, and for some reason, it's snowing in his little sanctuary home place. So, yeah. Okay.
And, like, all right, you know, we already had this confirmed in, like, the what if, but, like, Doctor Strange is willing to do the most reckless stuff ever, even at the expense of, like, breaking the universe. This is no surprise.
We are not surprised.
What is a surprise is that Wong makes this mistake in two universes. Yes. That he, like, knows that Doctor Strange is gonna do a stupid thing, and he still walks away.
He still leaves him alone.
Like,
with the firm, don't do it.
Yeah, he, like, Doctor Strange needs 24/7 supervision, and I don't understand why Wong keeps leaving.
I don't get it either. And I get it, plot, whatever, but come on now. Just, where was Wong going? Was he still helping things out with Shang-Chi? What was going on there? Where was he going? What was so important that he had to ignore Stephen Strange's mischievous look?
I know, it was like so obvious, like the most, like, I'm gonna do it kind of face I've ever seen in my life.
Basically.
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay. So of course, you know, there seems to be sort of a familiarity with Doctor Strange and Peter.
Right. He's like, oh, we saved half the universe together. Okay, Steven.
And he's like,
it's a little weird, but I'm going to let it go.
Yeah. Instead
of calling him sir. I don't, you know, and that always makes, I just love how Peter, like, always has that term of respect, like, sir.
He
sir,
was
you know,
raised but, well.
Like, he was. But then he's like, okay, Steven. And it's, like, awkward for everyone in the room.
Yeah, and I know, like, there's been talk about, like, oh my gosh, Doctor Strange is gonna be the new mentor for Peter Parker, and I'm like, okay, one, not that Doctor Strange is a bad guy, but
not a good mentor material, like,
no, honey, no. And the thing is, his heart is in the right place. He tries to do the spell, but once he says the thing.
But they don't even discuss the terms of the spell. Like, both of them are just very foolhardy. Like, they just like, all right, we're going to do the spell without talking about the details. Of
no communication whatsoever. I'm going to fail to neglect the fact that this spell erases everyone's memory. I cannot exclude people. Nope, the spell works. It's all or nothing. And Peter,
and then
course,
Peter could have made a more informed decision, and then we wouldn't, I mean, we wouldn't have this movie, but like, you know.
Yeah, just, seriously, logic fixes all plots and such, but it also wouldn't be half as interesting. But Peter, of course, he's like, what? But MJ, you know, what if I lose that? But Ned's my best friend, and Aunt May's gotta know.
Yeah.
You know, and all I could think is, you can tell them again. Like, two of them learned accidentally, the other one kind of blurted it out herself, you know, so it's fine. You can do it again, knowing how it's going to turn out, you know, but I get it. The initial panic. Either way, spell backfires, and what do you know? We got some space-time continuum opening up portals to the multiverse that we've been hearing so much about. And I am losing my mind, because of course.
Yeah, talk about the villains. You have the most familiarity with them, especially with Amazing Spider-Man.
So good. Oh my gosh. I can't remember which villain we see first, if it was Sandman or the Green Goblin's bomb.
No. It's the Green Goblin's bomb. Yeah.
Yeah. And as someone who has watched the Tobey Maguire version like so many times, that was my childhood bedtime like movie and such, you know.
That says a lot about you, by the way.
Yes, it does. It probably explains why I don't like people staring at me. I was being stared at by Tobey Maguire for like the longest time.
Oh my gosh. That headcanon accepted. Like, Tobey Maguire staring so awkwardly at the camera is what instilled your fear of being stared at.
There we go. Theory confirmed.
All right.
Anyways, so the Goblin Bomb. We all, those of us who have watched this movie back in like early 2000s, we knew exactly what that meant. And we're like, oh no. And sure enough, we hear the goblin cackle that we're all familiar with. And we're like, oh my gosh, this guy's not dead? Because in the comics, the Green Goblin is one of the hardest villains to kill. Like, he even went up against Luke Cage and Jessica Jones and still made it out unscathed. And these are two superpowered people who are really pissed off at him. So this guy cannot be killed in the comics. And when he finally died in the movie, I felt sweet relief. Sweet relief. Because a part of me was just like, oh, Norman, you poor thing. But at the same time, I'm like, die.
And it makes me grateful that we did do that Spider-Man-a-thon episode on the podcast.
Yeah.
And I could at least have an appreciation for, yeah, for that.
For that villain in particular. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we see Sandman, who those of you might remember from Spider-Man 3, Tobey's version. And some of you, like, it's a popular opinion that the third Spider-Man movie wasn't all that good, and I don't blame you, it's not that good, but it really is, and it had a great concept. That's a whole nother thing. Anyways, but Sandman, who's a villain in his own right in the movies, but in the movie, he's a little more sympathetic than he is in the comics. So when he disintegrates in the movie, like, I don't know if he died or if he just disappeared into the wind, I don't know. That was never quite clear, whatever. But either way, you think he's dead. Because after the first couple Spider-Man movie, it's kind of... It's the status quo at this point for the villain to die. So we got Sandman. We got Goblin cackling it up back there. We kind of sort of saw Jamie Foxx's Electro, like, a little bit. We saw a better image of him in the second trailer. But see some that electricity that we're just like, oh, no. Amazing Spider-Man. Here we go. And then, of course... the tentacles climbing up on the freeway.
That was really cool. Yeah.
I lost my mind when that first happened, folks. Because think of it. I mean, we were all there. We all see this teaser trailer and we're like, oh my gosh, we've had all these rumors floating around forever. We've had a bunch of scares that Sony and Marvel were breaking up or something, you know, like,
yeah.
And finally we get the first taste of something real. And who do they bring? Doc Ock. Oh my gosh, that was my first villain love, folks. Oh yeah. My gosh.
So Ray says hello, Peter. Just like, ooh,
so
chills.
Super chills. Just,
yeah.
The tentacles enough, just climbing through, because again, we all have that memory. Like, I personally, one of my earliest memories as a kid is watching that one teaser trailer where they first introduce Doc Ock and he's like climbing through this window and you're just like, oh my gosh, this is real, you know? 2004, man. What a time. What a time.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah, but anyway, and it's like you said, hello, Peter. And then immediately the suit comes on. Like, Peter has no idea who the hell this is, just that this fool knows his name. And he's got freaky tentacles, and he looks scary as all hell. Thank you, Alfred Molina, you beautiful man, for coming back.
Yeah, I know. Props to all the actors who are willing to come back for these roles. Yeah.
Yeah, so extravaganza of villainy and a bunch of crap going down. And of course, since Doctor Strange is in it, we have all kinds of crazy special effects of, like, world collapsing in on itself.
Yeah, definitely evoked a lot of the imagery of the first Doctor Strange movie in terms the spinning buildings and, like, Peter falling through, like, you know.
Like an endless sky kind of thing.
Yeah, it's pretty trippy. Yeah.
Yeah, super awesome. And then, of course, you know, we kind of sort of hear, I'm assuming it's Green Goblin in the background, like, you can't protect them all. You want it all. And I'm just like, shut up, Norman.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's in the second one, right?
He says a little bit in the first one, from what I remember. But,
We rewatched both of them just before recording. So, like, they're a little bit, like, it's basically like one trailer in our heads.
Well, they've had some of the same scenes over, like, oh, my gosh. But,
yeah.
Yeah, that first teaser trailer was insane. Had a little bit of fluff and a little bit of, this is the...
Yeah, so I was just, like, pure excitement after that one. And, like, we were so busy, I think, at the time with What If that we just didn't get around to doing a recap of that one. But I think it's just well, because now we can pair it with the second trailer that left me devastated.
I swear to gosh, folks, it was insane, because I'm thinking, oh, we got more... like, evidence of the crossover. There's the lizard! Oh my gosh, there's actually Jamie Foxx as Electro! you know, I'm losing my mind. And then we see more of Doc Ock there talking to the teens. And then the last second, devastated us. And I'm like, I don't want to watch this now.
I know. It's like, you know, excited face. And then you just, my face just like dropped. I was like, oh no.
Oh no.
Listen, y'all, you heard it here first. My villain origin story will be if they kill MJ in this movie.
They cannot do that to us.
They could.
They can.
Like, I had hoped that they wouldn't give away such a big thing in the trailer or hint at such a big thing in the trailer, but they did for Amazing Spider-Man 2. But we all knew at the same time that Gwen Stacy's days were numbered, so yes. Like...
So we let that go, but I don't know, because I'm telling Bridget, like, they wouldn't do that, right? And I'm hoping beyond hope that it's just sort of a nod to how all of Spider-Man's girlfriends either die or almost die, like in the comics, and also as a nod to maybe like the first Spider-Man, because I distinctly remember when Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man came out, there was like part of the trailer was Mary Jane Watson falling, you know, and that iconic scene when the goblin tries to force Spidey to choose between her and the bus full of children.
Oh, yeah.
So it could have been a nod to that. You know, an MJ falling. It's not a Spider-Man movie without a pretty girl falling. I don't know. But I'm really, really hoping that's what that is, because they cannot kill another girlfriend. I am so tired of people fridging the girlfriend.
I mean, yeah. So, okay. Like, this is what I think I first said to you after we had said, like, have you watched the trailer? Okay. Was, like, I understand that, like, Peter's story, you know, in the comics and in general, like, revolves a lot around loss and grief and, like, you know, him still having hope through that. And, like, that's, you know, still very valid. But, like, at the same time, I feel like there's a point where it does feel like too much. And also, like, just speaking more broadly about the superhero genre, I am tired of women dying for the sake of the man's emotional journey, like the male hero's emotional journey.
We're done with it. We're so
like,
done with
I'm,
it.
You know, just like on that like broader level, I'm just tired of seeing that. And I also just feel like that's like, I don't know. I just don't really see, I don't see how Peter can bounce back from that, to be honest.
No.
I mean,
no.
But like, I mean, it's hard to imagine it for any of the characters dying, but like, I'm talking about MJ specifically just because hers is the one that we're like, you know, seems like could happen the most at this point in time, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and, but like, also, you know, we already have like such a limited roster of characters of color. Like,
we have very little.
You know, and like, you know, I'm not saying that like, oh, because she's a person of color, you can't ever kill her off, you know, but like, I think you do have to keep in mind, though, again, that there is a limited repertoire of them. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I just think that's like not unimportant to just say.
We have to say it. It's out there. And really, I really just, even if MJ was played by like someone of Caucasian descent, it just, please stop fridging the girlfriend.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, I mean, no matter what way you look at it, just like the whole fridging the girlfriend concept is just like overdone. Yep. And I'm tired of seeing it. And I don't know. I just want like just a few good things for Peter.
Honestly.
You know, like, which I know is like the whole like fangirl being protective of the character on one level. But like, also, I just feel like,
come on, they've all had their happy ending. Even the ones that died had some really great moments, you know? Just come on, man. Iron Man got to have a family for a while. Mm. Cap finally got his last dance. Natasha got to reconnect with her family. Come on, man. Just let Peter have something.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, like, yeah, my biggest issue, I think, is just, like, the whole, like, oh, she must die to, like, you know, for Peter to rise above it or something. It just feels a little bit like, I've seen that too much as it is, and I really just don't want to see it in particular because, like, I mean, because also, like, MJ is just, like, a really great character.
Yeah,
you know?
She is.
And, like, I mean, just, like, you know, talk about another iconic MJ moment for the books, like, with Stephen Strange is like, okay, let's Scooby-Doo this crap. You know, and what did she say?
She's like, well, you know, since this is partially your fault, I actually know a couple of magic words.
Myself, yeah.
Please.
And then, like, Peter and Ned just turned to him.
Like, how are you going to respond to that?
And please, Scooby-Doo, this crap.
Because seriously, if anyone's going to stand up to any of the scarier or tougher Avengers, it's her.
It is so her. Let's yeah. be honest. She's just like nonplussed, except for when like she's like swinging through the streets with Peter. It's the only time we see her kind of lose it a little bit, which is great in its own way. But
we're all afraid of heights, just saying.
But unfazed by Doctor Strange, and just like, nope. No, you are going to ask nicely.
He's like, yeah, he might have screwed up, but you screwed up too, buddy boy.
Yeah, it's like,
yes, but applause. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Great moments like that need to be...
I just want more of them. Okay, selfishly, I want more than just... Even just for that. Just more MJ-isms to quote forever.
More that, more... Yes, my Spider Lord.
Yes, my Spider Lord. Still my favorite.
Come on, man.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I don't care if we're being selfish, but we have valid reasons, too. And seriously, it was nothing but hype and excitement for the first teaser trailer, and then...
And now I'm just dreading it. Now I'm dreading it.
I truly am too.
Because like we're also coming off of like still being bitter, forever bitter about Natasha Romanoff's death.
Yep.
We'll never not be angry about that.
Yep.
So, you know, just, you know, there's like that nervousness where we're like, they wouldn't do that to Natasha, right? Because I feel like there's more to her story. Nope, they killed her off because they don't care. And I'm like...
Yeah, they... No. Come on, Marvel. We learn from our mistakes here. Come on now. Come on. But... and then the thing is, I'm trying to be optimistic here. I'm like, no. There's good things. There's...
What was it that you texted me? You were like, if they kill MJ, I will rage quit in the middle of the theater.
I will. I swear, because like, I remember when the trailer dropped, like, what was it, the 17th or whatever? It was like night and I knew it dropped, but I was like so wiped out that day that I'm just like, I am so tired. I will not enjoy it. I'm just going to sleep. Watch it in the morning with my breakfast.
Yeah.
Sure enough, there I am with my waffles, blueberry. Thank you very much. Just like, yeah, let's do this. Yeah. Yeah. No.
It's bad.
It was so
Yeah, I watched bad. The I watched the night it dropped and I was just like, well, now I'm sad.
Oh. So, yeah.
I just like twiddled my thumbs until you texted me basically. yeah.
Oh my gosh, yes. Just, it was so insane. And I've only talked about it with you, Bridget, and then one of my coworkers who literally stopped what he was doing to come into my room to be like, you watched the trailer? I knew exactly what he meant. And I'm like, yes. But yes, please tell me that there are people out there who share our anxiety on this.
I mean, because I remember Tom Holland, I couldn't find the quote before we started recording, but like talking about how this is the like the most intense you see the characters go through a ringer and like stuff like that, and so this is before the second trailer dropped, and I was like, oh no, Tom, don't tell me that. But then I was like, oh crap, when I watched the trailer, I'm like, don't even.
Oh my gosh, I don't know if it's naive or optimistic for me to feel like he's talking about specifically that Tom Holland's Spidey is wrestling with the fact that all these villains are destined to die by Spider-Man's hands, because you can see that that affects him.
Yeah.
He's just like, does it have to be that way? And I get it, you know? Even when he killed Mysterio, who deserved it very much so, kill him again if you can, please. But it struck him. And taking a life isn't exactly easy, especially for someone as pure as him. So the fact that all these villains, through no fault of their own, are coming through this universe only to be destined to die by his hand, yeah, that would rattle me too. So I'm hoping that that's what Tom Holland means, that it's like, it makes Peter a little more jaded, because Spider-Man, he's always witty and bantery and full of hope, you know, that's just his character, no matter how much crud he goes through in the comics. But even after all that, he still finds something witty to say, even after every villain death, friend death messes him up in some way, he still manages to bounce back, and I really, really hope he just has to take more villain lives. I'm fine with that. I can watch the Goblin die again. I'll root for it.
But, yeah, no, it was, and so that was, like, this, like, second part, right? You know, because we didn't get any of that conflict in terms of the first movie, right? We were like, oh, this is gonna be villains, and, like, you gotta try to get him back out, and that's the conflict. But this adds a whole new layer to it, where it's like, no, Doctor Strange is trying to get rid of them, but when he realizes, I mean, like, what was it that, Dr. Octavius.
Otto Octavius, Otto which Octavius. Everyone thought was hilarious. Yeah. No, seriously, what's your name?
That was so cute. Like, the three of them are the cutest. They really are. In real life, too, like, all three of them are just...
Golden trios, man. Golden trios.
Yeah, utter perfection. But, yes. But yeah, so, like, but he says, like, you're chasing ghosts. And, like, which, how does he know, you know, but, like...
There's a whole layer of the comic to that, honestly. Like, there's this one storyline where Otto Octavius dies, but then he's resurrected and actually takes over Spider-Man's body. It's actually really creepy, but he actually turns out to be a really good Spider-Man. He changes for the better, which, you know, good for him, but please don't do that in another person's body. That's creepy. But, yeah, so Otto Octavius has always been an interesting character, so... Mm. Whatever universe he's from, because obviously he's not from Toby Spidey's universe, because, you know, he did.
Well, you know, but it could be that they just pluck him from Toby Maguire's timeline before he dies. I mean, because, like, Doctor Strange says they're destined to die, so, like, maybe it's just, like, before it happens, as far as we know in the original movies. That's kind of what I assumed.
Oh, that'd be insane.
Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of, like, I thought he was trying to send them back so that eventually they would go and die the way they're supposed to in the original universe. Original universes. Right, and that's when Peter, and I just found that really surprising. Like, I'm like, you don't even know these people.
I'm not surprised because it's this Peter Parker who's definitely got a softer heart than the other Peter Parkers. Mm. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with that, but oh, my baby, let them die.
I can't save everyone, right? That's, like, the realization he's coming to when I think he's talking to Aunt May. It looks like the back of Aunt May's head.
It seems like that, yeah.
But, yeah, you just really, like... feel for that, and I'm just like, oh, Peter, like, it's like, it speaks to, like, such, like, a gigantic, big, fat heart he has, you know. Oh, it's even bigger than I even, because you know how much I love Peter, and you know how much I, like, admire him as, like, the softest, wonderfulest human being, but, like, this is, like, to a whole other level. Like, these are strangers, and strangers that are trying to kill you, you know? Yeah. Well, maybe not, you know, Otto Octavius, but, like...
Yeah, because even he seems surprised when Peter's mask is removed, and he's just like, wait a minute, you're not my Peter, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And it does seem like there's, like, sort of a stalemate between them if they talk to him for a bit, and he allows them to laugh at his name. Yeah. So I'm curious about that one, because there was a point when Peter Parker and Otto Octavius were like colleagues.
Yeah, I was gonna say
he was kind of like becoming a mentor towards him, you know. So there was that. So I'm wondering how that's gonna play out, you know. But obviously Otto Octavius does something to his tentacles that make him all red and crazy, and I'm just like, nope. Mm.
Yeah, so, I mean, who knows? That is an interesting idea. Maybe he is, like, the Otto Octavius from, like, not even Tobey Maguire's version. It's a whole other... It could be. I kind of assume, though, they just plucked it out from earlier in his timeline.
I don't know, because, like, I was looking at Electro, and did you ever see Amazing Spider-Man 2? I can't remember.
No, I never did because I knew Gwen Stacy would die, but I do know that he was, like, all blue. I knew the look of Electro.
Okay, yeah, because his look definitely looks a lot different, and that's why I'm thinking, oh, these are just villains that we know, but they're from other universes beside the movies. That was my thinking. And also with the Lizard, too, because he looks different from how they made him in the first Amazing Spider-Man.
He looks similar to me.
Like, they still have the idea of the whole crazy monster lizard man, but he's definitely slighter. Like, maybe that's just an actor difference, because I'm not sure if the original guy came back or not, but that's why I was just like, okay, yeah, I see some minor differences here, and not just because it's been a couple years for the actors or whatever, but no, there's subtle things here and there, you know? I figured with Otto Octavius that he was just from another universe, and whatever red thing was on his tentacles was something he made in this current universe.
Okay, well, that's very confusing. Imagine, though, like, that's why Toby and Andrew don't appear, because it's not even their universe, technically. It's just an alternate version of their villains. That's a lot. That's a lot to wrap my brain around.
I liked your theory of a certain Spider-Man coming in, and that I would have burst into tears with. Jake...
Johnson. Freaking, oh, yeah.
Johnson. If they brought him, folks.
Oh, Peter B. Parker would be...
I would cry.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's... I'm going to shoot for live-action Miles Morales and Jake Johnson as Peter B. Parker. Please. Like, everyone's obsessed with, like, Toby and Andrew coming back, I'm going to be gunning for Jake Johnson and like whoever would play Miles Morales. That's who I'm going to be crossing my fingers for.
Seriously, though, just imagine Jake Johnson for a moment in Spider-Man gear. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's something I would like to see. I'd like to see his universe.
I just want to shoot for the stars here. You know, everyone's so, I don't know. Everyone's so obsessed with Toby and Andrew and like, I want to think outside the box here. Okay, everybody's talking about the same two Spider-Man we could see. What if we...
Give us the Miles Morales Spider-Man and the Jake Johnson Spider-Man.
You know, doesn't Hayley Steinfeld, who's playing the Kate Bishop, she voices Gwen Stacy Spider-Woman Spider-Gwen in the anime movie. Imagine they just brought her in as Gwen Stacy.
I'd cry.
And Matt, just, I don't know. I'm throwing out more, like, spaghetti on the wall.
I'm so greedy, folks. I want it all. And yet, I can't have it all. I can't save them all. I just...
Cries. Yeah.
I swear, and just little moments in the trailer, too, that have me, like, losing my mind, where Peter's trying to grab the Goblin Bomb, which is iconic in, like, every iteration of Spider-Man ever. Ugh. And Happy! We only see the same scene of him just looking kind of like shocked, and I'm just
right. There's like everyone's trained, like a bunch of people have trained a gun on him with the red laser thing, and yeah, yep.
They better not do my boy dirty either. I love him. I love them all, but man, they're gonna do someone dirty. And obviously, yeah, MJ seems to be on the top chopping block. I think Ned would be the next because he seemed to be falling.
That would
after.
Hurt me a lot too, like so much.
They can't. I won't let them. I will rage quit the theater for like 2 seconds and then I'll come back to my seat and sulk. I'll buy a second ticket just so I can rage quit that one.
All right. It immediately comes out. All right. I want to go to the next showing. Didn't you just go in for that one? I got to come back for the next one. I had to rage quit that one.
Buy a big old tub of popcorn and everything just so I could flip it and then storm off. Yeah. Dramatic. Once I know what everything else has happened. But yeah, there's just so much to concern ourselves with. When's it coming out? December 17th.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's like a little less than a month away. Can we prepare for that?
I'm not. Before, I would have been like, yeah, I'm ready. Now I'm like, nope.
I would have been happy with just the teaser trailer.
I need to like stuff myself with a lot of Spidey shell fix before the fluffiest kind I could find. Before this comes out, it might end up hurting me more if she does die, but also I just feel like I need to
enjoy. A cushion.
Yeah, I need a cushion. I need, like, that'll be my airbag, is all the fan fictions I will read before this movie.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Maybe rewatch Far From Home just to also just additional hurt. I don't know.
I can't rewatch that one anymore. It hurts too much. Knowing exactly what's going to happen and what it could possibly lead to. Mm. Just, what can I watch or read that's safe anymore? Maybe I should load up on Spidey Shell Fix too.
I'll send you my recs.
Please do.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. If anyone listening has recommendations for just the cutest, purest kind, no angst. Okay.
None.
I want zero angst. Okay. In general, I don't really like it, but
no
now
angst,
especially like
no
negative.
Death,
yeah.
No sex.
Yeah, we're not into the M-rated stuff. Even the T-rated stuff is kind of like,
yeah, just please help us.
The cleanest, the wholesomest, the purest.
We need
the fluffiest fluff there is.
We need a lot of cushion to cushion the impact here.
Anyway, anything else about like this hypothesis about what's going to happen or what about the trailers, about the movies?
No, but there's just so many things going through my head. Like, why is Spider-Man's suit dark?
Yeah, for a second I was like, Venom? I'm like, no,
wrong universe.
Yeah.
Which, thank gosh for that one. They did Venom so dirty in the third Spider-Man. I'm not, like, just the looks alone are just terrible.
But, and Tom Hardy's version is too scary.
Oh, he's fantastic, don't get me wrong. That's a whole nother conversation. But yeah, that's too much for the Marvel Universe, thank you very much. But yeah, it's just, yeah, please leave Venom out. But why is his suit so dark? Do not tell me he's going to the
dark
side.
I mean, he was the Night Monkey, though.
Is that, oh my god,
it might be that suit.
It Doesn't look like it. That one looked more cat burglary.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Well, still, it might be an offshoot of that or something. I don't know. Maybe he wanted something more stealth. Who knows?
Yeah, that makes sense. It seems like...
Because it's like, where is this in the timeline, too? You know, in terms of the movie.
Yeah, no kidding. Because I'm thinking of, like, okay, what has come out since Far From Home? Okay, Shang-Chi happened. Eternals happened.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
WandaVision.
And WandaVision. And Loki's happening somewhere in the background.
Yeah, that's a whole other,
we're good.
We're not even going to talk about it.
But I have no theories, just a lot of begging and pleading and a lot of greed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I will say like the second trailer does kind of spin all the things that I've been thinking in the back of my head. Into something like, oh, this is the conflict is different than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I would have been fine going into it with a little more mystery, but like, but at the same time, I don't feel like, maybe they end up, when we watch the movie, we're like, oh, they gave too much away. That's possibility, you know, I don't know, but it also just, because it subverted my expectations, it was kind of like, all right.
Yeah, I'm trying to focus on the positives, and I'm just focusing on the villains right now. And again, kudos to Jamie Foxx and Alfred Molina for coming back. Thank you. I truly don't know who's in the Goblin suit, if it's Willem Dafoe again, but...
What? Oh, well, that's something we probably should have looked at before we started recording, but... but real quick with the tower with, like, the shield on top, what do you think that was about?
Sick. Oh, I have no idea. Yeah, we need less Iron Man ghosts and more Cap ghosts.
Honestly, though.
Like, I really don't know what that was all about because I'm thinking, okay, where are we in the timeline? Yeah, Sam is the new Cap. There's a Captain America musical play thing out there.
Yep.
And John Walker is doing whatever the hell he's doing.
I don't even want to talk about that.
We're fine. But it's little things like that that make me... kind of stop and think. That did the snowing and the sanctuary thing got me like, what's that all about going on? You know, little things like that. And I really don't know what Marvel's gonna do other than hurt me and punch me in the face all over again. And I'm still gonna pay for it and everything. It's a, damn them.
I know. And also, yes, it is William Dafoe.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, I was like, I'm pretty sure it's him. Like, I remember, like, it's been like, a minute since we did the Spider-Man-a-thon, but I feel like I recognize
like him. But I feel like he's always been the one true goblin. No offense to James Franco and then the other actor from Amazing Spider-Man 2.
No offense, but offense.
Much offense.
All the offense.
You both were great in literally everything else.
James Franco, you're good at being hot.
Actually, I prefer his younger brother.
I don't blame you, though. Dave's smile. Well, both their smiles are beautiful, actually. They have the same smile.
I don't know. Dave's eyes are nice. But anyway, girl.
All right. Sorry, we're getting off topic here. Yeah, sorry.
But yeah, Willem Dafoe. I figured that was his voice, but a part of me is just like, am I being too greedy for asking? Because we already have Alfred Molina and Jamie Foxx.
I know. And Alfred Molina just did a play at Pasadena Playhouse, like, I think it was before the pandemic.
Oh, man.
I know. Pretty wild.
Seriously, I would have thrown myself at him and be like, Doc Ock! And he would have been like, oh, gosh, not another one.
I know. I think it was, like, a little bit before they started announcing everything with, like, him being in all the villains appearing in the Spider-Man movies, too. Yeah.
Oh, good for him. Bless you, sir. Bless all of you.
Bless. Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm excited for this, but I'm also terrified.
Same. All right. Well, I guess that's all we have to say for now. We will be going back to a weekly schedule after this because we got the Hawkeye series coming out.
Yep. I'm not excited for that one, but I'm not like, what is this?
I mean, I'm looking forward to it because of Kate Bishop and Hayley Steinfeld. Like, that's what I'm looking forward to. And also, like, Yelena's going to be there and at some point, so.
Oh, that should be interesting.
The Captain America musical. There are things I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, you just remind me of Yelena taking a crack at Clint Barton. Mm. And I don't know, something about him getting punched in the face just fills me with satisfaction. Yes, Hayley Steinfeld. Yes. Kate Bishop. Yes. I love her.
Yes.
So yes, I'm excited all over again.
All right. Good. I'm glad we're ending on a triumphant note. But
don't kill MJ.
Don't do it. Don't do it, Marvel.
No.
Anyway, all right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. You can keep up with us as usual with following us on Tumblr at nerdalertgirls.tumblr.com or emailing us at nerdalertgirlspodcast@gmail.com. And you can also rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts so people can find us, or tell your friends about it who are also into Marvel. We love other people being able to listen to our show and just, you know, geek out together.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you all so much for listening. And I guess we'll talk to you next time on
Nerd Alert! Girls.
Adios. Bye-bye.
Bye.